This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
But now I know I only hurt myself.
Yeah. 10:30 in St. Louis. This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. I'm trying to do some quick math. We're what? 32-ish hours away from puck drop Blues, sure. Bruins game 7. So that's obviously the big story, but a team did play, a St. Louis team played last night. It was the St. Louis Cardinals who snapped their 3-game losing streak due to the fact that they were playing a collection of players who otherwise probably wouldn't be on a major league roster, the Florida Marlins. Or the Miami Marlins, rather. A 4-1 win, and joining us now to talk about it is Rob Raines, STLSportsPage.com. Rob, how are you today?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Doing well. I'm curious, and I know it's hard to judge, but at the very least, if you're Michael Wacha, I know it's not the toughest of opponents in the Marlins, but at least 6 shutout innings against any opponent looks good, and that has to build some confidence for him.
Absolutely. First time he's had a start like that since June 3rd of last year. So I think he really needed that. I don't think his spot in the rotation necessarily was dependent on how he pitched last night. Although if he pitched really poorly again, it would have been an awful hard assignment to run him back out there another time, next weekend, this weekend in New York. But he did kind of restore a little confidence a little bit. Maybe it was an opponent like Miami that he needed to do that. But his pitches looked sharper. He was more around the plate. Obviously got bailed out a little bit by 3 double plays and then the pickoff at second, which kind of, averted maybe some more potential trouble. But, you gotta have some things go your way sometimes to end up on the good side of things too.
Rob, is it too simplified to say, well, you took your looking in Chicago, but you get the Marlins, you have to get well against the Marlins for this baseball team? Is that too simple to look at this that way?
I think it's an easy way to look at it, and obviously, they need to stop the losing, mm-hmm. at some point. I mean, not just the series in Chicago. They've been awful on the road lately total. I think they were, 3-13? In the last 16 road games going into last night, something like that. So, that's been the bigger problem, not just the losses in Chicago. They just need to play better on the road. And anything you can do, I thought the key player of the game last night was, other than Walker's pitching, was the bunt by Wong, which, produced the 2 runs because the catcher threw the ball into the right field corner. But that's, you got to do those things sometimes. You got to make good things happen out of, small things like that. And I think that was a real jump for the club, because otherwise it's a 1-0 game and, one mistake and, you lose that ball game. So and that's what I mean. Sometimes, maybe the little smallest of things, wasn't a home run. It wasn't a, triple off the wall or anything like that. But sometimes it's the little things that can make a difference like that.
Offense continues to be a bit of an issue for the Cardinals. I know they scored 4 runs last night, only with 4 hits. Last 10 games, 30 runs. It's 3 runs a game now for a stretch where you've played 6-4. So it could be significantly worse if it weren't for some pretty good pitching along the way. There are names in the lineup that are recognizable that you would expect to put up strong offensive numbers, and at the moment they're just not there. Yeah. Paul Goldschmidt hasn't quite been that extra base machine you anticipated. How do you think the Cardinals try to work through this, what has now been a fairly extended offensive malaise?
Yeah, I don't, I think that's the million-dollar question. Actually, I'm kind of working on a column to run here on Thursday after Game 7 of the Blue season. Say if you've spent the last 2 months watching the Blues and need to catch up on what's going on with the Cardinals, here's some stuff for you. And that's one of the things that I think I'm going to point out, is that obviously the top of the lineup has really struggled, it's been kind of a collective effort. And the problem is it's not unproven players, it's not young players, it's the veteran guys that you expected to do it. And I think it basically comes down to a real simple, statement, is if those guys don't do it, you're not going to have any success. You're not going to win. I mean, they've locked up Paul Goldschmidt for a long-time contract. I mean, Matt Carpenter's not going anywhere. They tried a little bit of moving him out of the leadoff spot, but the guys that they've tried in his place, it just was doing the math here. I mean, Bauer's 1 of 23, Wong's 2 of 16 when they've hit leadoff. So it's not like they've got anybody, other than maybe Harrison Bader that you could try up there that hasn't had a shot at it. So, I think it really comes down to they're going to have to pitch better, and they're going to have to just hope that the guys that they think will be the offensive leaders of this club can snap out of it and can become the offensive leaders, because I don't know that there's any, magic, you know, bullet that they can do on the horizon. They've got no you know, super prospect who's ready to come up, and I don't know where you would play him even if he came up. So I don't see a major, unless they could pull off a trade of you know, some of their younger prospects for, you know, another good starting pitcher. You know, I don't know what else they can do other than hope that the guys that they've got just turn it around.
I'd be curious your thoughts. I mean, we could go through this entire thing, Rob, and go, well, so good in April, so bad in May. Where's the middle with most of these guys? The one guy I'm curious your thoughts on and what you're reading is Paul DeJong. Where is what's his norm, do you think? Because it was so good, and then he's dropped so much out of the lineup last night. What should be expected of him, you think?
Since May 1st, he's at 198. So, you know, I mean, and then that's part of the time hitting third, part of the time hitting second. So I think he's probably one of those guys that's somewhere in between. He's probably not as good as he was in April, but he's certainly not as bad as he's been since May. It's just kind of a coincidental slump with everybody else. You know, I mean, I think, you know, they haven't hit with men on scoring, runners in scoring position. They haven't got a timely hit. You know, they've I know John Mozeliak was talking with some of the media down in Miami before the game last night and was talking about it being kind of a individualistic approach to the game and trying to hit, you know, 5-run homers as opposed to, you know, moving guys over and getting a hit to drive them in and things like that. I heard that. I kind of thought back to the famous Doug Armstrong rant a year or two ago about everybody being a you know, individual contractors instead of buying into the team approach.
Yeah.
And I kind of wonder if that's a little bit of what's going on with this club too, is that they're just kind of like a split there and they're just not, I mean, they're all individually trying to do their part, but somehow collectively it's just falling short.
Rob Raines, STL Sports page, joining us here on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Rob, right now the Cardinals have at best, a four-man rotation. Michaelis, Flaherty, Hudson, and after last night, I suppose they would put in Michael Wacha. Wainwright out for at least one start, possibly more. You mentioned possibly maybe at one point going outside the organization to supplement the starting rotation, but the Cardinals typically have been a team that always looks for internal solutions. What do you think? Where might they go with that fifth spot in the rotation internally?
Well, I think Ponce de Leon will get the first spot on Friday night in New York, unless he's needed, you know, long relief here the next couple of days in Miami. I think he's the most logical guy to take that start. They don't think Alex Reyes is ready yet. His last start in Memphis, he struck out 10 in four innings, but he also walked four and gave up four runs. So, you know, I think they want him to make at least one more start. They just want him to become a little bit more consistent and still work on his command and his control a little bit. So long term, I think if they need a starter, that's where they look to start with is Reyes. And then maybe as we get closer to the trade deadline, you know, near the end of July, depending on where they are in the standings, depending on how other individuals are doing, you know, I do think that's a possibility to go outside and go get a starter, at least for a short-term kind of boost here and a jolt. You know, people talking about doing the Alan Craig, Joe Kelly trade with Boston like they pulled off a few years ago to try to wake up the club a little bit. That's easier said than done. So, you know, you need somebody that wants those kind of veteran players. I think more than likely if this team is going to pull off a trade to get somebody in here who can help, they're going to end up trading some of their prospects instead of a guy who's currently a player on the roster.
When Alex Reyes gets his chance, are we doing him a disservice to think that he's still the top pitching prospect in the organization? Should we just say, you know what, let the kid go work, you know, whatever, 2 months before you can actually evaluate him? Because he's had so much on him, and what has it been, 5 years now he's been part of prospects?
Yeah.
I mean, it's
seems
been
like
pretty
forever,
rough.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, nobody's gone through more than he has the last couple of years. I really feel sorry for him. He's one of those guys you really root for because of everything he's had to go through. You know, the Tommy John and then the shoulder and obviously his you know, small baby daughter about battling cancer and all indications are she's doing fine now. But still, that wears on you, obviously, even if you know she's okay. So, you know, and I think the pressure, I think he can handle the pressure. I still think he's a very good prospect. I think, you know, he's probably not the superstar marquee prospect within Major League Baseball that he's been for a year, you know, years, but I think he's still, you know, the best Cardinals pitching prospect that they've got. I mean, I still think he can be a very good, if not the top of the rotation, at least a middle of the rotation starter for a long time to come. And even, you know, if he is getting, you know, 24 years old now or whatever, he's still body clock wise younger than that because of the 2 years that he basically didn't pitch. So, you know, I think the future is still very good for him. And I, you know, people say, oh, they should trade him. Well, number one, his trade value is diminished now because of what he's gone through. And the fact that you also put in so much time and effort into getting him back, I don't think you want him pitching well for another club. I think you want him pitching well for you. So I don't think he's going to go anywhere.
How do you see them?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
My mistake. How do you see Marcell Ozuna? How that's going to end up being for the Cardinals? Do you see them approaching him with a deal, or do you think he walks?
I think that you see where the team is by the end of July, and then maybe he becomes your best trade chip. Somebody that thinks he could be a bat that will put them into the playoffs if the Cardinals don't think they're going to be a playoff team in July. I still will be surprised if he's back here next year. The only thing, because they've got so many good young outfield prospects. I mean, Dylan Carlson's, you know, playing really well at Double A. Mm-hmm. Wayne Thomas, I think, is still a very good prospect. And Tyler O'Neill, you know, hasn't really had a chance to play every day in the big leagues to see what he can do if he gives that shot. So I just think that there's not really going to be a spot. Now, you say this when Mark Ozuna leads the club in home runs and RBIs, but, you know, I just think that if he was to come back, my personal opinion, guessing only, is that they make him the qualifying offer and he, you know, decides to take it as opposed to going out and looking at the free agent market that has been bad for, you know, older players the last few years and you know, hope he can do it again next season and then come back without that, you know, qualifying offer attached to his free agency. So and that's the only way I really see him coming back is on a one-year deal like that because he accepted the qualifying offer. So we'll see. But, I mean, I also could see a scenario where he becomes your best trade chip in July.
Rob, do you see something with the lineup to change it that would make it go better? I mean, they're not scoring enough. I know that sounds a little silly, but is there something you go, you know what, I would maybe switch this around and give this a shot because nothing's working.
I would try Bader in the leadoff spot is one thing I would do.
Okay.
He's only played there twice so far this season. He's, I think, hit, you know, 250, and he just, you know, generates some excitement and a little bit of energy, and I think it is time to kind of have a little shakeup there, and if you're not going to get a shakeup coming from outside, you got to try to do it internally. I also think you could perhaps move Ozuna out of the four spot, maybe bat him second or third. If you know, change the top of the lineup a little bit, and, you know, I think they did something interesting last night by batting Wong fifth because he's not your typical fifth place hitter, and I'm not in Miami, so I didn't get a chance to ask Mike what his thought process on why he made that switch. Obviously, with the young out, he had to, you know, change up the lineup a little bit. So I'm curious to see if that happens again tonight. But, you know, it doesn't have to be a prototypical lineup. It doesn't have to be, you know, the traditional, you know, our best hitter hits third or our power hitter hits fourth. You know, you could do something a little bit different just to try to make it look a little different and try to change a little thing. Maybe bat the pitcher eighth for a couple of games and see what happens. I do think they have to do something to do it. And if they're not going to have any external, you know, changes that will make you change the lineup, then you have to figure out how to try to do it internally. And that's a couple of things I'd try, I think.
Rob Raines, STL Sports page. Rob, I'll let you go on this one last question, not Cardinal related, but what's your gut feel for tomorrow night? Blues Bruins game 7.
I hope the Blues win. I'm not, you know, I mean, I've covered the Blues obviously for a long time too, as well as the Cardinals, but, you know, most of my, you know, attention is devoted to the Cardinals. But I think Bennington bounces back. I think they need a good start to the game. I don't think, you know, if they get down, you know, a couple goals early, I think they'll be in trouble. But if they can play it even or even grab a lead early on, then I think they'll be good. I mean, I think, you know, I think they're fresh enough. I think they're going to be rested enough to put in a good effort. They played well on the road. They played well after losses. I think they're kind of, you know, basically since January, they've been playing with house money because nobody expected them to be here. I think, you know, people were disappointed, obviously, that they didn't win game 6. But I think if you would have polled all those guys on January 3rd and said, you're going to play in game 7 of the Stanley Cup final on the road, what do you think? They would have taken it. And I think that's the attitude that they're going to have going into the game. By the way, speaking of tomorrow, I want to mention real quick before I leave, Sally, my wife and I are going to be at the Missouri History Museum tomorrow at 10 o'clock.
Oh, fun.
For a program that Ron Ells is putting together about the crossroads of St. Louis. And we're going to be talking about our new book, All Roads Lead to St. Louis. So it's free. Admission's free. Anybody that's out in the area around Forest Park tomorrow around 10 o'clock, stop by. We'll have a good time, I think.
Oh, very fun. Cool. Get out there, Forest Park, the Missouri History Museum, 10 o'clock to talk to Rob and his wife. That'd be a great time.
Thanks, Brian. All right,
Rob, thanks for hopping on,
talk
sir.
To you guys later.
That's Rob Raines, STLSportsPage.com. He's been covering the St. Louis sports scene for a number of years, and he seems nervous about Game 7 as well.
Everybody's
kind of like everyone
nervous.
Does at this point, right?
But I'm really I'm just going to wait and see what happens. If they lose, they lose. I don't care, because what has taken place has been a phenomenal ride. Obviously, if they win, it puts the cherry on top of everything, and it's the greatest thing we've ever experienced in St. Louis sports. You just wait and see what happens. You're there. That's all you can ask for. You've been given the opportunity. They did much more than any of us thought they would, and you've got a chance to win your 10th game on the road to win a Stanley Cup final. That's pretty awesome.
I think that's maybe something that we can talk more about on Thursday in the event that they lose. But I do hope that, regardless of the outcome, if they do lose especially, I hope that the appreciation for what has happened over the last 2-plus months is not forgotten.
Thursday might be the worst productive day in the city, in the area of St. Louis ever. Because if they win, you know what, everybody's phoning it in.
A lot of sick call-ins on Thursday.
And
if they
lose, people are going to roll into work. And, I don't really care what happens today. I just, just get to Friday and start the weekend.
That's Jim here. I'm Brian Hoffman. We have Darren Atkins in here as well. Rob Raines is joining us on the Maryville University Listener Line. Visit maryville.edu for more information. And I want to give a plug to Hollywood Casino, our title sponsor. If you're not going to the Enterprise Center for the watch party, if you're not going to Busch Stadium for watch party part two, head on down to 99 Hops House and watch the game there at Hollywood Casino in Maryland Heights. That is the place to be. A lot of beer, great food. They also have the Final Cut Steakhouse. And, hey, if they win, what better place to be at than a casino? If the Blues win the Stanley Cup, or even if they lose, you can drown your sorrows in a little gaming and alcohol. Not a bad way to spend a Wednesday night, regardless of the outcome. And if you're going to a concert at the Hollywood Casino Amphitheater sometime this summer, the way to do it is you go to the casino, you park there, get something to eat, drink, hang out, then you take the shuttle from Hollywood Casino to the amphitheater, and then the shuttle takes you back. You don't have to pay for parking. That parking lot can be treacherous and adventurous to get out of after concerts. That's the way to do it.
That's awesome.
If you want to take it a step further, you can rent a room there, and then you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, yes, you can.
We'll take a short time out here on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Plenty more on the other side. Dr. Rick, 11:20. Kenny Wallace, 12:30. We'll be back with more Cardinals, Blues, and whatever talk on the other side.